Good day to be with our spiritual family. I look at church as an oasis, in case we can come for refreshment. All week in the world, and we come here, and it's truly an oasis to hear about our King, to hear about our Savior, our Redeemer. Today will be a two-part message. This morning, of course, will be part one, and tonight will be part two. And the name of the message is Jesus, the Great I Am. Jesus, the Great I Am. I almost joke with Brother Matt. You've been looking at my notes, brother? He did a wonderful message this morning. If you get it on CD, he did a wonderful message for Bible class for us on the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, and God was glorified. Today we'll be looking at Jesus, the Great I Am. Jesus, the Great I Am. Our portion of Scripture that we're used to look to go into further into Scripture will be found in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Now a few Sundays back we looked at some statements in Scripture which were made by the Great I Am. And we looked at the I Wills. Just a few of them too. And as I was studying for this, I found out that there's over 100 I Am statements just in the Old Testament alone. It's incredible. I Am. I Am. And so we looked at the one who said, I will, and that what he wills comes to pass is the Great I Am. Is the Great I Am. When God says, I will, it will come to pass because He is the Great I Am. He's God. He's God. And we looked at how it shall come to pass. And we who believe, we find great rest and great peace in knowing that our Savior is the Great I Am. That our eternal souls are in the hands of the Almighty God. And that the Almighty God, and we'll look at the one who's called the self-existent one. The self-existent one. He needs nothing. And no one. But yet He became a man and died on Calvary's cross to redeem His people from their sins. And the believer in Christ rests in the Great I Am. Rests in what He's done. The one true God. Now Moses was asking God, what shall I say unto the Israelites? Exodus chapter 3. He was asking God, what shall I say to the Israelites? Who do I tell them sent me? Look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Now this is Moses at the burning bush. Moses at the burning bush. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, verse 13, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And look at verse 15. And God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. Forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. Now, our God in Exodus here in chapter 3 tells Moses to tell the children of Israel that I am has sent me. The great God of the universe identifies himself as I am. In speaking here, He's identified Himself as the I Am, which is the, see where it says, the Lord God of your fathers. This speaks of Jehovah. Translated in the Hebrew, the self-existent one. The self-existent one. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of all the elect of all the ages. The great I Am. The great I Am. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And we'll keep this in mind. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And then keep in mind also in Exodus 3:15 where it said the Lord being Jehovah. And look at this in Isaiah 43. Same phrase, same word in the Hebrew for Lord. Isaiah 43 verses 10 to 13. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, saith the self-existent one. And my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed. There is no other God but the self-existent great I Am. There's no other God. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. These folks had carved idols out of wood and stone and bowed before them, and they were not gods. They were idols. And there's no gods before the great I Am, and there's no gods after the great I Am. He is the one true God. And look at verse 43, or chapter 43, verse 11. I am the Lord. Again, the self-existent one. And beside me there is what? No Savior. No Savior. There's no salvation outside of the great I Am. There's no salvation outside of the one who speaks here. He says, I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. No one's going to escape the wrath and justice of God on their own. No one. People get away with things in this world, but they will not escape the judgment of the great I Am. But we who believe, oh, the wrath and judgment of God have been turned away, has been appeased in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, my. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? So here we see the same Hebrew word used in verse 15 of Exodus chapter 3. The self-existent one is used here in Isaiah when we see Lord. Turn over two chapters to chapter 45. Verses 5 and 6. The self-existent one. We're told to look to the self-existent one, to look. To Jehovah. The word translated there is Jehovah, which is translated as the self-existent one. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Verse 5. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. He must manifest Himself. We've been looking at that in our Colossians series. The mystery must be manifested, and He manifests it to His saints. And the mystery is the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He must manifest Himself to us or we will never, ever know Him. Though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. He's declaring that He is the only God. The one true God. I am the Lord and there is none else. No matter what anyone says, this is God speaking. This is the great I am revealing Himself. Look at verse 21. The self-existent one, the one true God here tells us that there's no God but Him. Look at 21 to 25. Tell me and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient times? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? He knows what? He knows the end and the beginning. The end. We know things as we go through time. He knows the end and the beginning. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. So the great I am here tells us here He's a just God and a Savior. And there is none beside me. Look unto me and what? Look unto the great I am. Look unto Jehovah and what? And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. And we do, we who believe, our righteousness and our strength is only in Christ and Him alone. Even to Him shall all men come, and all that are incensed against Him shall be ashamed. And look at this, look at verse 25 here. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified. There's God's elect, beloved. And shall glory. So the same word used in 21, 24, and 25 for Lord is the same word that was used in Exodus 3:15, the self-existent one, Jehovah. Jehovah, the self-existent one. So we can conclude by the scriptures that we've looked at right there, we can conclude from the Old Testament that the one who said, I am, the one who sent Moses is God, right? From what we've looked at. We can conclude. And, you know, I was talking with some guys yesterday and we were just reading scripture and I just said, well, that's what the scripture says. Well, that's your interpretation. No, that's just what the scripture says. It's not rocket science. It's the scripture says that the Lord's God. See, but people want to put their own opinion on scripture. You can't do that. We have to read it for what it says. And what we've looked at, the great I am, the self-existent one, says I am that I am. I am the I am. The great I am. The great I am. So we can conclude by looking at Scripture that the one who said I am is God. Look again at Isaiah 43, verse 11. I am, or I even, here we go, I am, I even, I am the Lord. And beside me there is no Savior. So the great I am says there is no Savior outside of Him. And then in Isaiah 45:22, it says, look unto me, look unto who? The great I am, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God. There's another statement again. I am God. The great I am proclaims Himself to be God, and there is none else. Isaiah 45:22. And there is life and a look to the Savior. There is life and a look to the Savior according to the verses that we've looked at. And all the spiritual seed of Israel shall be saved. Isaiah 45:25. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified. Justified. So with this in mind, let's look at the New Testament. Let's look at who our Lord Jesus Christ was. In the statements that He made about Himself. Let's preface this with John chapter 1, first of all. John chapter 1. So we saw the great I am through various scriptures. The great I am is God. He's God. And He says there's no Savior other than me in the Old Testament. Let's look at John chapter 1. Scripture declares, in the beginning was the Word. So the Word here is identified. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The beginning, in eternity. In eternity. Before there was ever anything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Look at this. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And let's go down to John 1:14, and then put your finger in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 1, 14, though. So the Word identified in the first verse of this chapter, of John chapter 1, is here proclaimed to be God. And the Word was God. Look at verse 14, though. Then it proclaims that this Word was manifested in the flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word. The one who's God. Was made flesh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in 1 Timothy 3:16, brought this out on Wednesday night, that this states plainly that God was manifested in the flesh. And remember what we read in John 1, verses 1 to 3, and in 14, the Word was made flesh. Look at this. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now. So, back to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The great I am. The great I am is manifested in the flesh. Manifested in the flesh. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 8, and let's see some statements that our Lord and King made concerning Himself and who He was. Who He was, as we preface this all with the great I am, has become flesh. God incarnate in the flesh. John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, our Lord has been discussing with the Jews who were Abraham's children of the flesh. And they claim to be Abraham's children, and they are of the flesh, but they're not Abraham's spiritual children. Look at John chapter 8, verse 39 to 41. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham? Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And then they accuse our Lord of being of having a devil. And we see here, these folks are religious folks. These are folks who studied Scripture. And if God doesn't reveal Himself, if Christ doesn't reveal Himself, they will never know who He is. And look at the statement that our King makes in the latter part of this chapter. John chapter 8, starting in verse 53, and we'll go all the way down to 59. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. They hate Him. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that He is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if he should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham. Now, they've been going off about Abraham, right? And our great King, the self-existent one, the great I am, makes this profound statement. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast thou seen Abraham? Now remember who they're speaking to. God manifest in the flesh. The self-existent one. The one who identified himself to Moses as the great I am. The great I am. And look at this profound statement he makes in verse 58. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And they knew what he was saying, because look at the next verse. Then took up they stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. This is none other than the great I am. The God of the universe. The one who said, I'm a just God and Savior. The God-man mediator. The one who said, look unto me. Look unto me and be saved. The great I am. And they picked up stones. They knew. They didn't believe who he was. But he pronounced that he was the great I am. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's no mere teacher. He's no mere man. He is the great I am. God manifested in the flesh. Before Abraham was, I am. Before the universe was ever created, before there was ever stars, before there was ever any heavens at all, I am. God manifest in the flesh. He states His eternal existence. The great I am. So we see here right before us our Lord's divinity and our Lord's humanity. He is the God-man mediator. The God-man mediator. Behold the Lamb of God. God redeem my soul. Is it so with you? The great I am has redeemed my soul. The self-existent one became a man to redeem the souls of his people. Look unto me and be saved. The great I am says. Oh, that God would give you faith to believe. Christ is the everlasting I am, the eternal God, which is, and was, and is to come. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 6, verse 35, and our Lord identifies Himself again in another I am statement. John chapter 6. Verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Again, do you remember the statement in Isaiah, look unto me and be saved, where he said he's a Savior and a just God. Here is God incarnate in the flesh. I am the bread of life. The great I am. I am He who is the bread of life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the bread that gives spiritual and eternal life. And He is the bread that upholds and maintains the believer. We must have food. we must feast. And Christ is the bread of life. He is our life. We who believe. He's the Messiah. He's the one who came to give His life. He might give us eternal life through the sacrifice of Himself. I am the bread of life. Again, we see the words, I am. He is the bread of life. He's the bread that every sinner needs. We're just mercy beggars, and He is the bread of life. The bread which every sinner needs, and the bread that without Him, we're perishing our sins. Look at John 6:51. I am the living bread, which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. For the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now the context of verse 51, our Lord is talking about how God gave manna. The great I Am gave manna to the Israelites in the wilderness. And this manna sustained their lives. Sustained their lives in the wilderness. Oh, it pictured He who is the heavenly manna. He who sustains His people. He is the bread of life. We who are born again, we cannot live spiritually without Christ. We must have Him. It is He who sustains us in the wilderness of this world. And without Him, we are spiritually dead. Oh, but with Him we are alive and we feast on the heavenly manna, who's Christ. Daily. Daily. Daily we're trusting in Him. Daily we're resting in Him. It's not a one-time thing, is it? Repentance is not a one-time thing. Coming to Christ is not a one-time thing. We continuously come to Him. Continuously. We need Him. He's the bread of life. The I Am. The great I Am. And note here in this verse, He says, I am the living bread which come down from heaven. He's the living bread. If any man eat this bread, which means to believe on Him, to believe on Him. Our Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And see, notice in our text too, this bread He gives is His flesh. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is My flesh. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. The bread He gives is His flesh. Speaking of His death upon the cross as the great sinner substitute. And remember who's speaking this. The great I Am. God manifested in the flesh. So think of this, the self-existent one. The God of the universe is saying, believe on Me. I'm the bread of life. Without Me, you have nothing. Oh. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 18 to 22. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Heaven therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us. How? Through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Remember in our text in John 6, and the bread that I'll give is My flesh. In heaven and high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We only have salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's only because of what He's done. It's only because of what He's done. The great I Am gives His life for sinners. Now, can we even fathom this love? That God would become a man. And as Brother Tim said in that song, we're but dust. that God would become a man to redeem people who shake their fists at Him? People who by nature hate Him? Ah, but He's loved His people with an everlasting love. With an everlasting love. We didn't love Him. But I ask you now, believer, do you love Him? Is He everything to you? Yes, because of what He's done for us. He's redeemed us from all our sins. And the bread that I will give is My flesh. And then it goes on in John 6:51 to say, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, folks will take this and use it as universalism and say, well, see, Jesus died for everyone. No, this is speaking that He's not just given to the Jews who would believe on Him, but the Gentiles also. But the Gentiles also, who were considered to be the world. Anyone outside of the Jewish religious system were considered to be the world. Anyone. Oh, He's not just given to the Jews who would believe on Him, but also the Gentiles, all those who were given to Him of the Father before the foundation of the world. Oh, what glorious love. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Who's the believer's advocate? The great I Am, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Let's turn over to John chapter 8. We'll look at another I Am statement by our great King. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am. I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Again, He's proclaiming Himself to be the great I Am. See, my Savior is not just an ordinary man. And you who believe, your Savior is not an ordinary man. He's God. This is why we can say to folks that we have such comfort, such rest, such peace, such security. Because the One who keeps us, the One who saves us, the One who shed His own precious blood is the great I Am. God. God manifest in the flesh. Look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again and again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Here before us the great I Am in the flesh tells us that He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. And they who follow Him, they who believe on Him, will not walk in darkness. Now there was a time when we were in the darkness of our sins. We who believe. Scripture says in Colossians, we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son. So every person comes into this world in darkness, blind by nature. But here before us is the One who is the light, the perfect One. The light of the world. What a universal statement in that. It removes distinction between Jews and Gentiles, doesn't it? It removes nationality distinctions, anything. It removes them. It removes between the learned and the unlearned. The rich and the poor. Scripture declares that there is none that seeks after God. There is none who's righteous. None who will seek the light. The light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And left to ourselves, men love darkness. No man will come to Christ, but when we're made willing. No man will come to Christ on their own, but when we're made willing. You know, I've talked to some people who believe in free will lately, and I've come to realize that they make their will their God. They make their will their God. Because they boldly say that God can't do anything unless they make a decision. Their will is their God. My will was in bondage to my old nature. Now my will is governed by my new nature. That's why I keep trying to say to them, but your will is bound to your nature. So free willers, they make a god out of their will. And they perish in their sins. But our God is the one who has His will is supreme. People like to pop off about free will. There's only one real will that's free in this whole universe, and that's God's. He can do whatever He pleases. Whatever He pleases. Our wills are bound by our nature. And so man will not naturally come to the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, if the Holy Spirit reveals to us who He is, we're made willing. And those who are made willing, they flee to Christ. They flee to Christ. And they shall not walk in darkness. And what? They are fully forgiven for all their sins. All their sins. Why? Because the great I am, the self-existent one, has died in their room and place on Calvary's cross. See, it's no way dependent upon me, my salvation. And if you're a believer, it's nowhere dependent upon you. It's all what the great I am has done. It is finished. Beautiful words for the believer. God is satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. The believer is cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist came to bear witness of the light, that this light is the life of God. Darkness and death are one, and light and life are one. And the light is the knowledge of the glory of God. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Oh, our Lord is the light of the world. But man loved darkness rather than light. I know I was there. And I still struggle with sin every single day. All the time. Is it so with you? Is it not a battle? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And remember, before the Lord saved us, the gospel was hid to us. Right? But Colossians tells us it's manifested, the mystery is manifested to His saints. Look though, it says it was hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, Christ who is the light of the world, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. I can't save any of you. But I know one who can save all who come to Him. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He can take the blackest sinner and make him white. Pure white. White as snow. Why? How can He do that? Because He's the self-existent one. The great I am. God manifested in the flesh. And He gave His life on Calvary's cross as a substitute for His people. For God, look at verse 6 again in 2 Corinthians. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. It's not man's doing, is it? It's not man's doing. It's God. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We who believe have had Christ manifested to us. The Holy Spirit has regenerated us. We're born again and we flee to Christ. Flee to Christ. And this is our hope. If you're here without Christ, oh, that God the Holy Spirit would move in your hearts and lives and point you to Christ. Point you to Him. Back to John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we've seen in these statements that Christ, He's proclaiming that He is the I Am. He is proclaiming who He is. And men don't believe it. But those who receive Christ and follow Christ, we do not walk in darkness, the darkness of sin or error or ignorance or tradition. We have the light of life and are taught by the Holy Spirit of God the things of Christ. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Remember how you used to think before the Lord saved you? Remember how you used to think about the Lord before the Lord saved you? I profess that I didn't have a clue who God was. I'm still learning. I'm just scratching the surface right now. But I didn't have a clue who God was. I did not know the I Am before He saved me. I had no idea who God is. Now, I had an idea in my head who God was, but like Scripture says, your ways are not my ways. It was a God that I had drummed up in my imagination. But oh, when He reveals Himself, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We are taught of God, we who believe, taught of God, who is Jesus Christ our Lord, God incarnate in the flesh. And we learn and are given understanding by the Holy Spirit of God about the things of Christ. Oh, He teaches us about the great redemption that's only in Christ. He teaches us the doctrines of Scripture, which are very important. And what do they do? What, you know, folks nowadays, they don't want to have nothing to do with doctrine. They just want to have experience. Experience, they want to have things going on in churches. They just, oh, we won't get into doctrine. That divides. Doctrine is good for us. It teaches us of Christ. It grounds, like Brother Matt was saying, the I Ams are like foundation stones stacked up together. And their foundation is sure. Doctrine helps us to get grounded. Now we must always teach doctrine around Christ, though. Always. Because if you take Christ out of just the doctrine, which people do it, and I don't know how they do it, but because doctrine is all about Christ. The Bible is all about Christ. But people will rip things out and they're making a list of things you have to do and things you don't have to do. And it does not glorify God. But doctrine will teach us of Christ, teach us of the great things that Christ has done. Great things that the I Am has done. And we grow and we learn. But we only learn these things as the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scripture for us. We can't go to the Scripture on our own and just be... I remember before the Lord saved me and I read it and it was just ink and paper. But after the Lord saved me and the Holy Spirit indwells you and you read the Scriptures and you're like, I've never seen that before. And even after walking with the Lord for 20, 30 years, I've heard people say, well, I've never seen that before. It still happens. He's still revealing Himself to His people. And we grow and we learn as we study Scripture. And as we hear sermons about Christ, we grow and we learn in the knowledge and truth of Him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true life. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him. That is true, and we are in Him. That is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. 1 John 5:20. This is the true God, Jesus Christ, the great I Am, and eternal life. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true God. The great I Am, the self-existent One, manifested in the flesh, and in Him we have eternal life. And in Him we have forgiveness for all our sins. And in Him we have a perfect righteousness in which we can stand before God. Look at John chapter 10, the next I Am statement. The next I Am statement. Then Jesus said unto them, verse 7, Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 9, I am the door. The next I am statement. There's only one door for the sheep of God to enter into heaven. Only one door. Only one way. Now man will tell you by the different gods that they've made up that there's all these different ways, but our Lord, the great I am, God manifest in the flesh, says, I am the door. I am the entrance. Now we go through doors all the time, don't we? We go through doors to enter into a place, to enter into one room to another. And it's a constant reminder that Jesus Christ is the only door, the only way. The only door for the sheep of God to enter into the kingdom of heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ, the great I am. There is no other way. No matter what man says, they're lying. This is God who's made this statement. This is the great I am who makes this statement. This is God manifest in the flesh who says, I am the door. I'm the entrance. And as I say, false religions will say that they have another door. The door of your works. Or the door of your supposed free will. It's all lies, beloved. There's only one way into heaven. Only one. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And false religions promote false gods. But in our text here, in John chapter 10, our Lord, our King, the great I am, the self-existent one, tells us very plainly, very plainly. And if you notice, the Lord speaks in one and two syllable words. I am the door. Go through Scripture and notice that with the Lord. Notice the syllables He uses. This is the I am. Very plain words. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, there's the entrance, he shall be saved. There's no doubt, is there? He shall. And remember, this is the I am. This is the God of the universe. He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And Brother Matt bought out in Psalm 23, the green pasture. There's only one door. False religions promote various ways to get to God or various ways to get to whatever they want to call. But there is only one way to heaven. There's only one door to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ. And folks who try to work their way into heaven, they are thieves and robbers. False works-based preachers are robbers of man's souls. But the sheep of God do not hear them. They do not fall. They do not fall, the false preachers, but they follow the shepherd's voice, the one true door, the only way into the kingdom of God. Look at John chapter 10, again, verse 11 to 14. Keep that in mind. The sheep of God follow the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, a false preacher, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling will run away. Trouble comes up, he's gone. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. And here's another statement. I am the good shepherd. The great I am is the good shepherd. And know my sheep and are known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life. Now look at this. I was talking to someone yesterday about limited atonement. and I bought this scripture up. To me, this is so plain. Again, one and two syllable words, right? As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And we know further down in that chapter, the Lord says to those Pharisees, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for His people. For His people. And then He says in verse 16, and this is speaking of those who, the sheep in the Jewish fold, but look what it also says here, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That's us, the Gentiles. And them also I must bring, and they shall what? They shall hear my voice. They shall. What God commands shall come to pass, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd, the body of Christ, the head. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's the good shepherd. There's none good but God, none. Christ is the shepherd of the Father's appointing. God the Father appointed Christ to be the good shepherd. He's the shepherd of calling and sending, to whom and upon whom the salvation and care of the chosen sheep were committed. It's committed to Him, the good shepherd. Will He lose any of His sheep? Never. All who He redeemed by His precious blood shall come to Him. Shall come to Him. We preach the gospel to all. I was listening to Brother Henry Mahan this morning. We preach the gospel to all. The general call goes out. Out it goes. The Holy Spirit makes it effectual to His people. Drawing His sheep to Christ. So there's a general call, and then there's an effectual call by the Holy Spirit. My sheep, they're here, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. He is the good shepherd. He'll gather the lambs. He'll gather the lambs. Isaiah 40, verses 9 to 11. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with your strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. I say to you today, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the great I am. Who we've looked at is God incarnate in the flesh. Behold the Lamb of God. May God give you eyes to look to Christ. May He give you ears to hear the gospel. May His Holy Spirit regenerate you, that you run to Christ. But behold, here today we've seen God incarnate in the flesh, the great I am, the self-existent one, and He is the Savior of all His people. All His people. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. This speaks of Christ. Behold, His reward is with Him and His work before Him. He must redeem His people from their sins. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arms and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Oh, the good shepherd gave His life to redeem His people, His sheep, from their sins. And He gave Himself freely as a ransom for them, that they might be delivered from the law of justice of God. God's law must be satisfied. We know that. Turn, if you would, to Galatians 3, and we're finished with this. And I'll read Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood, to feed the church of the great I am, the self-existent one, the church, his sheep, which he purchased with his own precious blood. God became a man. He's redeemed his people from their sin. This gives us great hope, doesn't it, as believers? What peace, what security, what rest we have in Christ. That the self-existent one is the one who's redeemed us and keeps us. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The great I am hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. God's sheep are purchased by the precious blood of the great I am. The great I am. The Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, purchased, pardoned in Christ, and God's people say, praise His mighty name. We'll give Him all the glory, won't we? We'll give Him all the honor. We'll give Him all the praise. And He did it all by Himself, beloved. All by Himself. God's people are recipients of the grace of God in Christ. Undeserving, unmerited recipients of God's grace in Christ. Oh, may God give you faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.